You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
So when I saw the trailer for Sela, not Sela, and the Spades, this is not at all the movie that I really thought that I was going to get. Like, I watched that movie, or that trailer, and I went, okay, yeah, this is going to be some fun, quirky, light-hearted, high school, kind of artsy comedy. Like, I was thinking Mean Girls mixed sure. with, you know, maybe a little bit Brick, maybe. But that kind of thing. And that is not what we got at all.
No.
You were way more prepared than I was. I thought, when I saw the title, I was like, oh, we're reviewing indie bands now. That's interesting.
Yeah. So, yeah, I actually watched this one with my wife last night, so it's kind of fresh in my mind. I made it a little bit into it, and then went back and was like, no, I need to show this because this is totally at my wife's alley. But it's interesting. When the movie first started, it opens on a scene of a group of people basically going into it. They're having this huge argument, and it's a way of introducing us to each of the cast, the main players. And it kind of spirals out into a description of all of the different cliques who are really kind of different crime families within yeah. the school that they work at. They are at their prestigious academy. And so Sela, the title character, kind of goes into this description of like, okay, these are the people who will get you test answers, and these are the people who will, God, I don't even remember what the others are, like they'll arrange
oh, yeah.
for a party. And
yeah, it was actually the group, the C's that'll help you cheat or pass your tests, the Skins who handled gambling, the Bobbies who handled parties, the Prefects who basically ran interference between the staff and the kids so the staff wouldn't know what was going on, and then Sela's group, the Spades, which handled the drugs, the booze, and everything else. And she was sort of effectively the head of the families, but everybody acted like all these factions all had the same amount of power.
Yeah, it was like it was kind of like an uneasy alliance between them all. And I was a little confused. Wasn't there like a messenger group? Like there was like they were like spies or something, or like they were like neutral, some type of neutral party? I got confused.
Yeah, I was trying to get that too. Well, that was actually what I thought when I was watching it, and part of what made it sort of complicated for me to keep track of was I was talking even before we got on the mic about it, reminded me of something like it was meant to be like The Godfather, like in a high school setting. I think Aaron mentioned Brick, you know, which is basically a noir, and like they're doing that sort of thing. It feels real, but it doesn't, you know. It's like when they that period, like in the 90s, they're doing a bunch of like Shakespeare in high school, like was Othello and it, so it feels like they're doing like a Shakespeare tragedy. I mean, they even name drop Macbeth at one point. Or I think I keep coming back to The Godfather because there's like this whole hustling for power thing that keeps going on, and who's going to take over when Sela graduates and all that sort of stuff.
So one thing that kind of hit me, and I mentioned Brick specifically because I think it was about 30 minutes into this movie when I went, oh, this is in the Brick universe. It's just a different kind of story.
Sure.
And once I kind of internalized that, I got a lot more into its rhythm. But we're talking about this as if it's a crime drama. And the thing is, that's only part of the narrative.
Yeah.
And that's also what one of probably my biggest issues with this movie was, is that you have the crime story, which is this idea of Sela as the head of these crime families, and it's the typical, there's a mole somewhere in your organization, and the crazy things that happen therein. But on the flip side of that, there's also this indie drama about someone coming to terms with shifting into adulthood, with an unloving yeah. parent, with, I think, whether or not they are a sociopath, maybe.
Yeah.
And And her relationship with a new character who's kind of the catalyst for a lot of this, who's a freshman coming into this high school. And the movie kept flipping back and forth between the two. And I found myself really wishing it would just pick one.
Yeah.
Because the crime story was really interesting, but it never really was the biggest part of the story. And then because they wanted to tell that crime story, I felt like the characters never became nuanced enough for the indie drama.
No, I completely agree with you, Aaron. I mean, it's just, I feel like there was barely any development. Like, they have some development with Sela and with the new student. I forgot her name.
Paloma.
Paloma, yeah, thank you. And, you know, there's some development with them, but then because there's not enough, there are certain actions that characters make. You don't really understand why. It just kind of comes up on nowhere.
Because the script demands it.
Exactly. And it's like, see, if we had spent more time, you know, Aaron, as you said, maybe focusing on the crime drama and having it develop in those scenarios, then we can, instead of like us jumping into Sela having issues with her mother, then we could have maybe, you know, we would have had that, those like interesting character moments where, you know, an intense occurrence happens, and then, you know, there's a reason why, and then, you know, certain decisions have to be made because of it. But since we don't do that, we jump back and forth, then it just seems kind of inconsistent.
Yeah, and one thing I do want to call out, the writer-director of this movie who, I'm going to try this, Tyaresha Poe?
That's how I would have said it, yeah.
Okay, this is their first written and directed feature, either or. So, like, I feel like what we're doing here is we're watching someone who has a lot of talent, who is just, okay, I have something and I have an idea,
yes,
but it needed a few passes. Or maybe they had a couple of different ideas that they couldn't quite flesh out to a full feature, and so they shortened each and kind of combined them all. I'm not sure what, but either way,
yeah,
I think that's where the root of this is just someone who's a little inexperienced on where to cut, where to add, and what really works for an audience.
As a kind of a filmmaker, there was a lot I admire about this movie, just both technically and stuff. Because it felt both like a Sundance film, and it felt like you were talking about a first-time movie maker who's either unsure or also potentially thinking, I'm only going to get one shot, and I'm going to put it all in. Either way, it creates this sort of unevenness. And because there are some choices in it, like music is absent for like huge swaths of this movie, and there's a lot of wind, but not like in a bad audio way, like nobody knows who to do audio, like it was an intentional choice. They use wind in place of other stuff. And then there's like Paloma uses a film camera. And I couldn't decide if that was just because that way you can have prints that you can do stuff with, because they pass these pictures around and they do a lot of stuff, and it looks visually better to have the pictures than, hey, look at the thing on the back of my camera. But I spent a lot of time trying to figure out what was and wasn't important in the movie, and was this trying to tell me something? And I don't know how much of that is from being the last movie I just watched was a surrealist parody. So like literally all of it was, wait, is that important? So I did that a lot with this movie, but it's technically competent in a lot of ways, especially visually. But the storytelling, I think, like you said, probably could have used another pass, or it needed to focus on one story or the other.
Yeah, and just like, we're kind of giving it some faint praise. I think visually, like, we're commenting on how good it looks. It is a really interestingly shot movie.
Oh, yeah.
I kind of started to mention it, like, the beginning, when they're having that initial argument between the different crime families. It was really off-putting at first, because the way they're framing everything is very deliberate and also very against what traditional framing values are.
Yeah.
And it took about 15 minutes for me to find the film's rhythm. And there are a lot of really creative angles and interesting setups that they do. And there are a couple of sequences, too, where admittedly knowing just a bit about film production, you go, well, clearly you're just trying to do this without having any money at all, but holy yes. crap, that looks great still. Good for yes. you.
Oh, no, I completely agree with you guys. And, like, probably, like I said, if there's three things that I really like about this is, would be, yeah, those particular directing moments. Like, there's a particular shot I really love, and I keep thinking about it. It was, like, the senior prank that they
had. Oh, yes.
Yes.
And the way they do it, let's just say it's a lot of color. It's beautiful.
Amazing. Like, it looks fantastic.
It's funny, that scene is the only time I ever really thought about Paloma's camera, because she was taking pictures, and the whole time she was doing that, I was like, you know, that's not a digital camera. So you either have to use color film and black and white film. She's a high school freshman. Like, is she using black and white right now, I wonder? Or do you think she actually brought color film? But the other thing is, I'm pretty sure this is on Amazon, correct?
I think it's going to premiere on Amazon, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that I've been seeing, and this made total... Yes, it is, Prime Video. When I got into it, it made total sense, because I've been noticing that Amazon Prime has low-key become, like, the de facto place for indie drama and just kind of new developing hit indie films, as well as randomly grindhouse cinema. That's like Amazon yeah. Prime's like wheel now.
No, that's so true. That's what I like about some things on Amazon, is you're gonna find like those weird little random movies that you wouldn't just mm-hmm. even like Netflix wouldn't have. You know, it's just something like, it's just like those no budget, but you know they had an interesting and creative idea. And I think that holds true here. And also, I wanted to mention the two other things I liked. I liked the dialogue wasn't too hip, because I get so tired of hearing 40-year-old trying to write teenage dialogue. And then just... they sound like... I mean, this is very... This is theatrical. I mean, the acting is theatrical, too, and the writing is very theatrical. But at least it doesn't feel like... I don't know. I can't think of a good example right now. But, you know, it's just that...
No, I was going to agree with you. I was just going to say that they go that brick method of nobody really talks yeah. like a high schooler does. And because yes. nobody does, it works. It's completely mm-hmm. believable.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, the last thing I was going to say is I love this soundtrack. Wow, like it is, you write minimalist sound, but when it does, it sounds great. Because there was this one scene where someone's listening to some music on some headphones and they do a trick with it, and I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah,
this is great.
Are you talking about it's that first scene when one of them is introducing the other one to a band?
Yes,
because oh my god, that was one of the best shots in the whole movie. My wife and I were talking about that for like the next 10 minutes.
but yeah, so honestly, that's yeah. like, apart from that, I already said what I liked. I liked, you know, I said I liked the score. I liked the certain, you know, certain directions they have. I think there's a lot of great ideas in here. I thought the acting at first was a little off-putting because it was so theatrical, but then I kind of got eased into it, you know, especially with the dialogue. I was like, okay, you know, I see what they're going with this. So I kind of, I think it's an interesting idea. Aaron, I agree that it seems like this, you know, they had a lot of ideas and it's needed to, you know, they just wanted to kind of put them out there. And Luane, I also agree with you too, that I think I can feel the desperation in the director. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. It just seems that, you're right, they really wanted to put as much effort they could and put all their ideas out there because they feel like this is probably going to be their only shot. And you know what? I think it's a pretty darn good shot. So, like I said, despite some of the flaws, I had some enjoyment with this. And I got to say this, it did balance the tone pretty well. You know, it being dark, but it had some funny moments. It had some heartfelt moments. And I think it did well from there. So I'm going to give this... 8 out of 10 spades.
There you go. There you go. All right. Luane.
All righty. I think I've pretty much covered everything because it feels like all I did was talk. The short version is I really hope Tyresha Poe keeps making movies. I'd like to see what she can do when she can just do it and not have to worry about this is my only shot. I mean, again, I'm putting words into that person's mouth. I don't know for sure, but I'd like to see more. And I kind of hope Jomo Frey, I think as the cinematographer, keeps doing the work as well, because this movie, if nothing else, in the spots where I maybe wasn't fully engaged, there was always something to look at, and it almost always looked good. There were shots in it I literally admire. I'm like, that is amazing. So I really hope, more than anything else, sometimes it sounds like I'm bagging on this movie, I just want to see, more from, I think, her, because there's so much potential here with this director. And I don't know if, you know, if she needs a writer or just another person to take a look at the writing or whatever, but I want to see more of her stuff, because I think there's a lot of potential here for a really, really great filmmaker. And this is not a movie that sort of really represents my voice or anything like that, and that's fine, because there's plenty of people who do that. But I think that this is probably somebody's, if not literal story, at least something that there's a piece in their life that they can see in this. And I think that there needs to be more variety of things like that that are done well. So I guess the arbitrary rating, 4 out of 5 factions.
Alrighty. And for me, I'm gonna echo what you were saying. I think Taya Risha, and I already forgot their last name, terrible. Taya Risha Poe, I think that they are gonna be someone who we should watch as they grow. Visually, this was a very strong movie. I just think maybe it needed a few extra passes on the script, just to add in a little bit more pull through. But like, aside from that, this is a great indie movie if you're into indie films. Like, if the kinds of movies like Brick that we've been dropping are your cup of tea, you should probably check this out on Amazon Prime. It's an interesting take on the high school genre. Even if it has a couple of missteps, it's never something that you're going to regret watching. I would say this is 4 out of 5 bad acid trips, because, oh my God, you know that one character is going to have a really bad night after this.
You know, the one thing I'm also looking forward to is what Marvel films that Tyrese is going to direct in the future.
Oh God, it's just to make me happy, I'm gonna say Howard the Duck, because that would be fun to see, like, an arty as hell, weirdly shot indie Howard the Duck.